Now we come in chapter 29 to Egypt, the last nation here, and 29, 30, 31, and 32 is all about Egypt. Now, there are many commentators that take the position, and these are conservative men, that the prophecies here concerning Egypt are of more interest than the one concerning Tyre. Now, I must confess, I do not concur in that. I think that prophecy concerning Tyre is remarkable. But we are going to find here a very remarkable prophecy. And one of these prophecies is that Egypt was to be destroyed. Now, Egypt was a great nation and had not been destroyed. It had maintained its integrity down through the centuries. One of the most ancient nations actually did not need to put up a wall of defense. After all, that desert was a pretty good defense. And there was only one entrance in there, and that was through the Nile River Valley. And frankly, all they had to do was to put up a good defense there. And you'll find the cities of Egypt were not walled cities. It wasn't necessary to wall them at all. Now, God says, though, they're going into captivity for 40 years. Now, will you notice here, and this is a remarkable prophecy, and I do not want to be tedious with it, but I would like to call attention to just a few things. We have here in the 10th year, in the 10th month, in the 12th day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Now, God here takes a very definite position against this land of Egypt that had put his people in the brickyards, had introduced them to idolatry, and had been a thorn in their flesh for years. And Israel was constantly running to Egypt for help. They seemed to lean upon it. Now God says, I'm against Egypt, and Egypt is to be destroyed. Verse 3, speak and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great monster that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which hath said, my river is mine own, and I've made it for myself. Now, the crocodile, apparently, is the sea monster here, and Pharaoh's likened unto a sea monster. And like the crocodile, says, this is my river. And the very interesting thing is that Egypt worshipped all manner of birds and beasts and bugs, the scarab, you know. And if you'll notice, the plagues of Egypt were leveled against actually the gods of Egypt that they worshipped. I think that in spite of the terribleness of the plagues, that they also revealed God had a sense of humor. Imagine, friends, worshipping Heka, the frog-headed god, and then waking up one morning and frogs are all in your bedroom. What are you going to do? Start killing off the gods? I think the Lord must have got a, you know, smiled at that anyway. Now, will you notice the Pharaoh that's mentioned here is Pharaoh Hofra, and he's called in Greek Apres. He was the grandson of Pharaoh Necho, who had defeated King Josiah at Megiddo. In fact, Josiah was slain there. And King Zedekiah, and also we find the other rulers even before him, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, they turned to Pharaoh Hofra when Jerusalem was besieged. And this Egyptian army came up and came through Phoenicia and forced the Chaldeans to raise the siege of Jerusalem. You remember we looked at that in Jeremiah. Now, the prophet Jeremiah, he announced the doom of Hophra also. And we had it in Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hands of his enemies, to the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life. The critic here has found fault, and I'm not going into detail here, but I would like to recommend to many folk who listen to this that are Bible students and they like to go into something. The critic has come along here and made the statement that this prophecy was not fulfilled at that time. It was fulfilled 17 years later. But the interesting thing is, if you read it carefully, God made it very clear it wasn't going to be fulfilled then, but the prophecy was given then that later it would be destroyed. That is, Egypt was. Now, what would happen to Egypt? Now, I drop down to verse 13, and I must hit high points now. Yet thus saith the Lord God, at the end of 40 years will I gather the Egyptians from the people among whom they were scattered. Now, 17 years later, to be exact, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, came, and he took the Egyptians into captivity at that time, and they were in captivity 40 years, not 70 like Israel. And we are told here, from among the people among whom they were scattered. Now, I read on verse 14 of chapter 29 of Ezekiel. I will bring again the captivity of Egypt, and I will cause them to return into the land of Pathros, into the land of their habitation, and they shall be there a base kingdom. Now, I wouldn't have you miss this for anything in the world. Notice what he says now in verse 15. It shall be the basis of the kingdoms, neither shall it exalt itself any more above the nations, for I will diminish them that they shall no more rule over the nations. Now, Egypt had been the great power of the ancient world. They come out of the dawn of history as a great nation, and the monuments there and the tombs there reveal the fact that they had a civilization that was actually second to none. And it's believed today by many historians that the Greeks got a great deal of their information from the Egyptians. It was a great civilization, and it was a great nation of the ancient world. Now, at this time, God says, I'm going to let Nebuchadnezzar take you. And not only that, you're going to return in 40 years, and when you do, you're going to be a base kingdom. You'll never rule over the nations, and you're going to be the basis of kingdoms. May I say to you, we in our tours visit many lands in the Near East. You don't get any lower than Egypt, I can assure you that. No one can go to Cairo without your heart being sick when you see the poverty there and the low level to which the people have come. You know, the Lord was accurate, friends, if you just listen to him. Now he goes on in this particular chapter to talk about that there would be a judgment on Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, but he was going to come. He'll cause his army to serve a great service against Tyre. That's verse 18. You see, he'll take Egypt, he'll take Tyre, and we read here verse 19, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will give the land of Egypt unto Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And now you find out that not only Tyre, not only Egypt, but the nation Israel will all be given over to Babylon, actually the first great world empire.